Hi, this is Brandon Sanderson, author of Mistborn and the Wheel of Time series, among other things, and you are listening to the Backseat Book Club.
Microphone. We're going to talk about books today. So it's Backseat Book Club. No countdown. You're all doing it. We're talking about Eyes of the Dragon. One person liked it.
Hi, I'm Scott.
I'm not Sam.
And I'm Chrissy.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and this is Backseat Book Club.
You know what? This speech, it's getting old. We got to change it up.
It's a format. It's a format across like four shows. I don't think we're going to lose it.
I'm looking at a penguin right now. So we're talking about Eyes of the Dragon by Stephen King because it's October. October means we should read Stephen King.
Yeah, but this episode's releasing in November.
I was going to say, this episode's releasing in November, so nobody really gives any shits. So, yeah, this book's made of lies, and I don't like it. I mean, seriously, it's called Eyes of the Dragon. I get that the dragon is singular.
Yes, one dragon.
One dragon.
So, two eyes.
So here's the deal, Stephen King. One, you lied about dragons. Two, there's not enough dragons. And three, the dragon that did exist in the story had like one page.
Not even. It was like
it was a sentence.
It was like the king came upon a dragon, and so he slayed it.
Like F you in the ass. Okay, I don't care how old you are. Dragon in title, which means dragons should be there.
Are you saying it should be full-on Dragon Overload, where the dragons become a chore?
You know what?
Like Dragonlance or Skyrim, where it's just like, oh, another motherfucking dragon.
You know what? This book could have benefited from motherfucking dragons. You know, because it's boring as shit. So this is a case where, yes, it should have been like Skyrim. Dragons all the time.
Tell us how you really feel.
Skyrim is boring, too. It just has a lot more dragons.
Well, the way Sam plays Skyrim is not boring.
Thank you, Scott. Chrissy agrees with me.
But, yes, moving on. Not enough dragon.
Exactly. The singular dragon, like,
was dead. It was dead, but, like, basically the whole time.
And you know what? Like, I'm sorry. You have no right to call your book Eyes of the Dragon when there's no real dragon. And I don't care if there's a metaphor for flag being like a dragon. Flag sucked. Okay. Everybody in this book sucked.
You don't even have to go metaphorical, because, I mean...
Flag is actually also a dragon.
Yeah, I know that, but the book does a really...
It's not a metaphor. No, Randall Flag is
here,
a dragon.
I'm sorry, but they do a really bad job of conveying that most of the time. I'd like to point that out.
And the fact that Thomas watches his father get murdered through the eyes of the dragon.
Yeah. Oops, there was a cup. At least no one peed in it. All right. You know what? Here's the thing. No, you don't need to cut that.
I can't even.
So here's the thing. Flag is a guy. He's a wizard guy. And you know what? He sucks. He's just like, I'll murder all the people! And everyone's just like, no, Flag didn't do it! And it's like, why are you people so stupid? You should always suspect the wizard with all the powers. Like, come on!
So, backstory and translation of what Sam is saying. For the past, 450, 500 years or so, Flag has, under a variety of names and disguises, come to Delane and cause shit.
Yep.
And his latest shit stirring is that he poisons the king with this poison from this treacherous desert that basically burns him from the inside out and pins it on the king's son, who everybody loves because he's a special snowflake.
He really is a special snowflake. Sorry.
Well, yeah. Well, and it's worth noting that this is a fairy tale. Like, and for the record...
It is one of the worst fairy tales
ever. It's better than The Last Unicorn. Shut up.
Shut it, Scott.
Two against one. Last Unicorn's better. Trump! Oh, yeah!
In the comments, tell me I'm right.
You know what? You're not. I want to point out that The Last Unicorn, while boring in parts, was better than this book, which was boring all the time. Because everyone was dumb. And that was the thing that drove me crazy about this book is, how do they not suspect Flag? Like, at all? He's just like, I'm your local friendly wizard. Oh my god, look at me, be a wizard man. It's like, I'm sorry, but just, how do you not suspect this really poorly written wizard? Because wait, everybody else is poorly written, so they're just too stupid to figure stuff out. So the story just goes on like that in this giant friggin' circle that drove me absolutely crazy.
But King Roland is a jovial drunk who likes to hunt. Wait a minute. George R.R. Martin. I wonder if he's read this book.
I wonder if George R.R. Martin may have stole parts of this book and then just put lots of murder in it.
And more dragons.
Oh yeah, and dragons.
Well, honestly, George R.R. Martin, it's mostly about adding tits.
You know what? I would take tits over the lack of dragons, but at the same time...
But George R.R. Martin has tits and dragons, exactly. Hanging on the tits.
So, you know what? This book fails just on that front, too. No tits, no dragons! Stephen King, I am sorely disappointed in you, because normally you're good at doing tits! That's the worst part!
Ah! Yeah, no, this book is kind of a sausage fest.
It is like... But it's like
there are like four dudes that do everything.
It's not just that. It's a sausage fest, but it's like, it's not even a fun kind of sausage fest. It's not like I can make pornography out of it. Which, I'm sorry, some women like to make pornography out of characters in other books.
I am willing to bet that there's probably some fanfic. There's probably some Thomas Flagg fanfic out there.
Probably.
Oh, it's probably Ben.
Dennis.
Ben. No, Ben and Peter.
Oh, yes, Peter.
Dennis is, no.
No, Dennis is gross.
Dennis is just Dennis. He's the lovable.
He's perfect in
every way. He's not perfect. That's Peter's job. Peter is perfect.
I'm getting them all confused, see, because I just didn't care.
Peter, if he was a vampire, would have sparkly skin.
He'd be the Peter in Narnia.
Yes.
He's also perfect in
every way. He's that Peter.
You know, what is it about the name Peter that just instills perfection in literature? I don't get it.
I don't know. If only there was some sort of guy... Maybe from, like, the Bible or some really other old text named Peter, who was also special and important.
I know, right?
But maybe, or maybe Simon. Maybe Simon.
Or Simon called Peter.
Yeah. I don't know, though. That might be... I don't think that's the case, though.
So I'm sorry, but as a fairy tale, this book also just... My frustration with it as a fairy tale is that it didn't evoke the whole fairy tale feel.
It's got some Morgan Sterny moment.
It has a Morgan Sterny moments, but then it fails because then it uses everyday language.
Well, yeah, because for a while...
That's also Morgan Sterny, though.
But it's not...
But, okay.
The way that Stephen King does it, though, is it comes across really dry and really awkward, whereas at least in the Morgan Stern stuff, you know, it's woven in very well, and it's woven in such a way where you don't feel the disconnect as bad as this book does it.
You know what I really liked? The, like, couple paragraphs where Stephen King switched to Frisky's point of view. Frisky being the dog that magically appears.
I think that's why I gave it 2 stars. I'm good for you.
Well, you know what?
The dog is fantastic.
Okay, so what Sam is saying. So, for example, King will say stuff like, oh, I don't know, maybe like,
She's flipping through the book.
I'm flipping
right now.
Through the book because I found one example before and then I didn't find the other example, which is sorry. But okay, so here. I was really buying the book and then it, about page 158, Thomas and Flagg are talking and Thomas is basically freaking out and saying, no, I'm not going to be king. And then Flagg is like, well, I guess I'll just go away now. And Thomas freaks out. And then Flagg is like, ah, oh, finally, Flagg thought. This is good. In fact, this is rich. And I was like, nah, I just lost it. I lost the fairy tale right there.
Yeah, but Flagg speaks modern English because he hangs out in modern America and leaves Buicks behind.
Yeah, but if you haven't read the other books that Flagg has been featured in... That would come across really disjointed.
That is a
legit complaint right there.
Well, and this is what it comes down to, is I'm a hardcore tower junkie, and this is another tower story.
Which, you know what, when you
if you slot this in between, say, Wizard and Glass and it's the right sort of tone and mindset for you.
That might be then why also I didn't enjoy it. If you're suggesting, like, it goes with Wizard and Glass in a way.
Yeah.
I hated Wizard and Glass because that was, like, 800 pages of nothing. And I don't do well with books that do 800 pages of nothing. It's why I stopped reading Robin Hobb.
Well, it's also why you try to avoid some Stephen Kings, honestly.
You know what? But that's just it. I've noticed...
Like, this is 400 pages, but it never quite felt like it. And maybe if it would... And maybe it's just because it's not a dense read.
No, it was definitely, like... The beginning of it, the fairy tale-ness kind of reminded me of The Princess Bride. Mm-hmm. And I really liked it at first for that. But it was also kind of jarring, because this book I followed up reading, Blade of Tyshel.
Yeah.
Very different fantasy novel.
That's like 15 pounds of kick-ass in a one-pound bag.
Yeah, whereas this was like, you know, it's like the light kind of summer fantasy read. But then bits and pieces like the language that Flag would occasionally use, but not all the time, just occasionally, coupled with, you know, people taking forever to figure out that Flag was the bad guy.
Like, that drove me nuts! Like, I'm sorry, it's so obvious from page one he's the bad guy!
The weird part, and again, there's a certain amount of child logic at work here, but they introduce the fact that everyone's kind of afraid of him because he's a vaguely sinister wizard guy. But they never quite put together that, but it seems like they never get the full feel of everyone's so afraid of being turned into a newt, they can't put two and two together when he's around.
No. And I think...
Except for the judge guy, and even the judge guy is like, no, he's gonna turn me into a newt. Peace out, y'all.
Well, and then he's like, oh, Peter cried when his dad died. Guilty!
What?
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 And, I think for me, this was one of those books where it was a light and breezy read for the most part. It really was. And I say breezy with the utmost love because it's just, this book comes across really mindless at times. Like, you're just reading it and you're just kind of like, yeah, I'm just gonna roll with it. And then something stupid would happen and you're just kind of like, so there went my suspension of disbelief, which I hate.
I just love Peter weaving that thin magical rope from the threads from the royal napkins on the loom from his mom's dollhouse. So there's a lot of things that required you to suspend too much of your disbelief, and it's just like, no, I'm sorry. I totally buy the dragon that King Roland killed and then ate its heart. Like, that was hardcore. I can get behind that. That's pretty metal. But the other stuff? No.
It's hard. And I think this is one of those books that either... Truthfully, it's a very love-hate book. And it's something I've just noticed with other people who've read it. And people I've talked to, they just said it's... You have to get into the mentality. If you can buy the mentality that Stephen King is presenting to you, you will probably enjoy the book. But I had a hard time buying into it even just after the first chapter. Just because a lot of it just... I felt nothing. Mm-hmm. And the characters, let's face it, they don't feel like characters in the story. They're kind of just there to serve a function. And I don't do well with functional characters, for the most part. I don't do well with the characters that are just there to do one thing and be completely forgettable. And that's the other thing is, I'm getting the names mixed up, but that's a sign for me that I didn't care. So, like, for a Stephen King novel, I hoped to like this because, you know, Scott had said, he was like, it's a fairy tale. You love fairy tales. Like, you should enjoy this. And I had to, like, totally turn around and break his heart and be like, honey, I didn't like this at all. It's not the worst Stephen King novel I've read, but it's not one of the best either. Anyone else have anything to add?
I still like it, and it's still my favorite modern fairy tale thing.
You clearly haven't read any good ones, then.
Like The Princess Bride, too.
Like, okay, The Princess Bride is still probably one of the best. And it's in its own frigging category.
Well,
okay, but
there's
better.
There's stuff like Briar Rose that just...
Jane Olin's Briar Rose is one of the best examples of a modern fairy tale retelling. And it's incredibly heartbreaking. You know what story it is. You know where she's going with it. And it doesn't matter because you're involved. She does a good job of making you involved. Maybe that is the downfall of this book.
Well,
I never felt involved in the story.
Well, part of it is because you never get to know the narrator.
Yeah.
The narrator is telling you the story, but you don't really have any context. Like, is this story being told...
To small children?
Is the story being told in the court? Like, the king's court? Is the story being told during Peter's time as king? Is the story being told to his children. Like, you just don't know.
There's no frame. And it's...
And that, whereas there's, like, a very definite frame has been set for Flag, you kind of know that the story takes place down the road from all these events, because the narrator does say things like, oh, like when Thomas and Dennis go off at the end to try to find Flag, he's like, that's a story for another time. And it's kind
Which
of
it
like,
really was a story for another time, funny enough.
I think they show up dead in book six of the dark, six or seven of the Dark Tower.
I think I left off at Kala.
Yeah.
And we'll get back to that series, but Wizard in Glass made me very, very miserable.
Well, and you keep saying you want to go through Wind in the Keyhole before Wolves in the Kalad. I'm like, no. Save that for later. But yeah, who would you say this is for?
Hardcore Stephen King fans, particularly Tower fans.
Yeah.
And this is the thing. I love Tower. I hated Wizard in Glass. If you hate Wizard in Glass, you will probably hate Eyes of the Dragon. If you love Wizard in Glass, you will probably love Eyes of the Dragon. I caught the Tower references in this book, and they made me unhappy because I knew which one it was sort of kind of making play to, and I was like, no, I hate that one! Stop it! But I do think it's the hardcore Stephen King fans. I mean, let's face it, Stephen King fans will read whatever Stephen King writes.
I haven't picked up anything he's written since he retired.
Oh yeah, gotta love his fake retiring. I don't know. I would not recommend this to people who like fairy tales at all. I would not recommend it to them because it's so embedded in the Tower lore that essentially if you haven't really read the Tower and you read this and you go in cold, there's not much to offer you.
Even as
a fantasy story, I didn't feel like it had much to offer.
I disagree, because I haven't read any of The Tower, and it still had stuff to offer me, but I agree, like, if you're looking for a modern fantasy, this is not for you, like, Jane Yolen, much better. But this is more if you like fairy tales, you haven't read much fantasy, but you're looking to get in, like, this is a good intro to fantasy.
I could
definitely see giving it to a 13-year-old. Pretty easily.
I can agree with that sentiment, actually.
Like, if this was shelved in YA, I think you would like it better.
For me?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I think for me, my problem is, I even tried, even reading it at times, to put it into a YA headspace. Maybe thinking Stephen King was playing with a more younger audience, and I still feel like he even failed there. I don't feel like a lot of teenagers will connect with it. Maybe as a fantasy story just on its own, perhaps, but I still can think of better teen fantasy novels that I've read.
Yeah, but I think, like, as a bridge for someone who's never read fantasy before, this would be a good intro because the mechanics of the world are fairly similar to normal world mechanics. You do have magic, dragons.
Let's give it its credit. There is a simplicity to the book if you're a non-Tower fan. There is a simplicity that makes it incredibly readable. And it is a very fast and easy read for the most part. Like, you're not going to be sitting there and going, I don't understand any of this. What is this fantasy mumbo jumbo? Because there is none. It is very straightforward in that respect. So if this was Baby's first fantasy novel, sure, go for it. But come on, there's better. There's so much better. Truthfully, I can't recommend it to anybody. Sorry, bitches. It's just how it is. I love you both.
All right, and what's next month's book?
Do we decide?
Thingamathing with the Haruki Murakami.
You mean Colorless Tanizaki?
Yes, I can never remember the title.
Oh god, I can't remember the title. It's Colorless Tanizaki something something.
It's the newest
Haruki Murakami novel.
It's in the show notes.
Which actually, horrifically enough, when we record for that episode, it will no longer be the newest Haruki Murakami novel.
It will be in the show notes for sure.
Yeah.
Alright, so thank you. See you next time.
Bye.
See ya.
Backseat Book Club is a Backseat production. Visit backseatproducers.com for more shows. Join the discussion and make suggestions for books on goodreads.com. Music by Kevin MacLeod.